Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. Clinton Griffiths in for Chip Flory today. As promised, we will spend about the next 20, 30 minutes discussing some of the issues around trade, and there are many things that are happening on that front, including U.S. Dairy Export Council CEO and former Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, who's joining us on the line today. And Secretary, thank you so much for being with us, and you just got back from a trade trip over to both China and Japan.
That's right, Clint. Opportunity for us to speak to the Chinese Dairy Industry Association, to meet with Chinese officials at the Ministry of Finance and Commerce, and then a chance to visit with a number of potential customers in Japan. So an interesting trip in terms of where we are in China and where we are in Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. And given everything that's going on, how did you find the mood of those conversations? And we'll start with China.
Well, China, obviously, this is a stressful period of time. I had a chance to visit with Chinese officials and the Chinese dairy industry to try to convey the message that the relationship between the U.S. dairy industry and the U.S. And the China dairy industry is one that is important and one that we want to maintain. Mm-hmm. As you know, and as everyone knows, they're having a very difficult time with their hog industry because of African swine fever. I suggested that potentially the U.S. dairy industry could be helpful to help them rebuild more quickly that industry. The use of permeate and whey protein can accelerate growth in piglets, can increase the number of litters per sow that would allow them to reclaim their industry more rapidly to provide help and assistance. They've lost nearly 50% of their their herd, and that's a that's a pretty significant blow.
Did they seem receptive?
So trying to they were receptive. I think they were surprised by the message. The Chinese officials wondered why I didn't mention anything about tariffs.
Well,
stay away from that conversation.
Sure.
I wanted to convey the message that a relationship has to survive these difficult periods. A relationship has to be about trying to provide help and assistance. It's sort of a win-win for everyone. At some point in time, hopefully this situation with China gets resolved. And when it does, we want to make sure that those relationships that we had before the tensions occurred are resumed, and that we get the advantage of that growing and expanding market.
Well, and you talk about the size of that market, and that is a massive, massive opportunity for American dairy producers who, frankly, need a spot to send milk and milk products.
Absolutely. We were on record pace at the first part of 2018 in China, and we've seen a precipitous drop off of activity, obviously, selling less cheese, selling less ingredients. That has had an impact. We would have had an incredible year last year if we had not had the interference in China. And this year, we would certainly need the volume that they would have taken. Our powder sales are down a little bit, and certainly China is one of the principal reasons.
Are they able to find other sources? I mean, that's always the question, right? Whenever you're a supplier, are there other places for our customers to go? And we've seen that obviously in grains, but on the dairy side, are they able to get what they need other places? Which I'm guessing is the reason for the importance of these relationships.
Well, I was actually thanked by representatives of the EU dairy industry for the activities that are taking place in China, because they get the best of both worlds. They get an expanded market opportunity, taking market share away from us. And if the Trump administration is successful in changing China's way of doing business and getting a fairer system, the European companies will also benefit from that negotiation. So, they are able to get alternative sources from the EU and from New Zealand, who have existing relationships over there. They're seeing expanded opportunities, more cheese being sold, more ingredients being sold. And certainly Europe has been sitting on a stockpile of powder for some time. So that is beneficial to them. On the other hand, that faces confronts us with the challenge of what do we do with what we would have sold to China. Well, Japan comes into play, Korea comes into play, Southeast Asia, the Middle East and North Africa become places where we have to really put a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, a lot of focus. Let's switch gears then and talk a little bit about Japan. How was that meeting and meeting with those folks, those relationships? What do the opportunities look like there going forward?
Well, I think things are hopeful in Japan. I think that there's a belief that our leaders, President Trump and the Prime Minister, will get together at the end of this month and hopefully announce a deal that will open up new opportunities for American agriculture, will level the playing field. We're at a disadvantage right now with Europe and New Zealand because they have free trade agreements with Japan. If that playing field gets leveled, there's no end in sight to the opportunities here. We are currently seeing an increase in cheese sales. We've seen an 11% increase for the first 6 months of this year compared to last year in that Japanese market. That's a market that constantly and consistently is growing, expected to grow at 4% a year overall in terms of cheese and dairy needs. They have a dairy industry that is aging. They're not going to be able to meet their needs for ingredients and cheese over the long haul. So this is a really important opportunity for us. It's one of our top five markets. Continue to see growth there, certainly on the cheese side. The ingredient side, we need a little work. But there's real opportunity. We met with a fitness franchise called Curves.
Uh-huh.
They have 800,000 members. 300,000 of those members receive a monthly supplement of whey protein. 50% of that protein that they receive comes from the U.S.
Wow.
They're looking at expanding that number by 80,000 additional subscribers per year. They're looking about creating an opportunity for men. This is primarily for senior women. They're looking at chances of expanding in Taiwan and China, Vietnam, Indonesia, a variety of other locations around the world. So this is a big opportunity for us, and they're very encouraged by the work and assistance we've provided through USDEC to underscore the importance of whey protein, particularly for seniors.
How hard has it been to maintain export levels, you know, given some of the trade headwinds that we've seen between Canada and Mexico and a USMCA and the issues going on with China? How hard has it been to maintain export levels and finding new opportunities for dairy?
Well, the reality is we had a record year last year in exports. Our volume is down a bit this year, in part because of China, in mm-hmm. part because of African swine fever, in part because of the intervention stocks that the EU has been sitting on, in part because of sanctions against Venezuela. There are a variety of factors beyond our control. Having said that, the value is up. We're selling about $100 million more product the first 6 months than we did last year. And the reason for that is that we're seeing increased cheese sales. And the reason for that is that we're aggressively promoting both ingredients and cheese in these markets. And we're seeing receptivity in South Korea and Japan and Southeast Asia.
What are you most excited about for the future? I mean, we talk a lot about these, I don't want to say they're developed markets, but markets that we know, like Japan and like China. But what other opportunities do you see out there where we might be able to really move some product in the next 10 years?
Well, the ratification of USMCA gives us the opportunity to continue to preserve our markets in Mexico, which continue to grow, and potentially give us a little more additional market access in Canada. So that's a good thing. The Middle East and North Africa, we continue to see interest in our cheeses. We are doing some creative marketing in a number of the North American and North African countries in the Middle East, pop-up stores encouraging cheese sales. Southeast Asia, you know, this is interesting. Indonesia is currently having a spat with the EU over palm oil and the environmental impacts of mm-hmm. Producing palm oil. They are now trying to divert away from their reliance on EU and dairy. And they are encouraging U.S. to come and potentially increase sales. So, you know, there's tremendous opportunity in the global economy. Even if it's slowing down a bit, there are still middle classes being created, younger populations in these Southeast Asian countries that are interested in the need for dairy proteins, new health and fitness focus with whey protein in places like Japan. And the world's demand for cheese just continues to grow. The amount of cheese that's consumed in this country compared to Japan, uh-huh. we have so much upside potential in these Asian countries as they get to learn more about American specialty cheeses, as they get to learn more ways to use pizza, as they have a young generation that wants to eat on the go. Tremendous opportunity. We just have to be patient. We just have to continue to deepening our relationships with folks in these countries and continuing to produce the great quality that we have.
Well, I know it's a big job, and I know it's an important job. One of the things I saw from your meeting over in China is you did get to spend a little time with U.S. Ambassador to China and former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad. How was that meeting?
Very positive. It was interesting. Suggested to the ambassador that he find time in a visit that's upcoming to Shanghai to visit Costco. The Costco store opened up in Shanghai, and there was just an influx of thousands of people wanting to become Costco members. We have a promotion with Costco in China to promote U.S. cheese through their brand, the Kirkland brand. And so there's a tremendous opportunity to increase cheese sales through that membership-driven organization. We're doing the same thing in South Korea and in Japan, and we're also expanding opportunities in Mexico. So this is just that, you know, and he was excited about that opportunity. He thought there was that might be a good way of showcasing U.S. dairy, showcasing the support for U.S. dairy, and at the same time, encouraging Chinese consumers to give U.S. cheeses a chance.
Yeah, that's pretty neat to be able to see that in person all the way over on that side of the world. As we look at some of the things that's going to be upcoming this fall, USMCA is high on my radar. Do you think we have a good chance of getting that pulled together?
I do, and here's why, Clint. Look, if you look at this, I think there are two questions that a member of Congress has to ask himself or herself. One, is this agreement enforceable? Can they be assured that whatever the provisions are, that they're going to be followed through? And I think there's been a concerted effort by the administration, by Mexican officials and others, to reinforce the notion that, yes, they're serious about labor, yes, they're serious about environment. And then secondly, the question is this deal better than the current situation with NAFTA? And I think clearly for American agriculture, for poultry, for wheat, for dairy, and for most of the commodities, it absolutely either maintains the status quo or is an improvement. So on balance, this agreement is better than NAFTA. Mm. Is it perfect? Obviously not. There's no such thing as a perfect trade agreement.
Right.
But it's better. And I think if you're satisfied that it's better and satisfied that it's enforceable, then I think you end up having to vote for it, and I think it's going to pass.
All right. Well, I appreciate your insights as always, Secretary Vilsack. Really appreciate the time. Appreciate the work and the legwork that you're doing on behalf of the American dairy industry. I know they're excited to hear about all of these opportunities and find ways to use our products out and around the world. Thank you so much. All right. Stick with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about meat exports and the opportunity there coming up right after the break.